And now it is my pleasure to welcome back up onto stage our director of Healing School, Daniel Amstutz.
Thank you so much. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. It is so good to be here today. And you know, as you were sharing just now, Sarah, I was thinking it would be great to hear from a couple of our prayer ministers some of those praise reports. Do we have anybody in particular that would be willing to come up and just sort of spontaneously, yeah, share a praise report? Man, did you see that? I didn't even have to prime the pump. Yeah. Come on up on stage here so where everybody can see. Yeah.
I'm delighted to give a praise report. God is so awesome. Last Wednesday in praise and worship, I blew my knee because I don't believe in just being still. I'm not a Methodist. And so anyway, I'm stiff-legging it Wednesday and Thursday. And I come to prayer in healing school. And the first person that I prayed for, I was healed.
Wow. Isn't that awesome?
God is just so awesome.
That's awesome. I rejoice with you. That's so cool. Who else? Anybody else? She's running. Come on. Yeah, come on, brother. Yeah. I tell you what, testimonies are awesome. You know, when most of you know my story, but I'm a pastor's kid. My dad was a Baptist pastor. And I don't know if you grew up in a traditional church like Baptist or Nazarene or some of those kind of congregations, but we used to have testimony services. And we would get up and testify, and usually it was regarding salvation because most of us didn't believe in healing, you know. But it was amazing, even on that level, to be able to just hear what God was doing among the people. And this is exciting because you know what? We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So not only is it great to hear what God's doing, but someone else will get encouraged by this word of testimony. I guarantee you somebody else is going to be relating to what happened just with the knee right now, let alone everything else that we shared today. Yeah, tell us.
When I was a little kid, I was called Fatty.
Wow, can't imagine that.
In fact, the doctor put me on diet pills as a kid.
Wow.
My mom asked him to check my thyroid gland, and he wouldn't do it. Don't know why, but he put me on diet pills.
Wow.
So I had been on one teeny-weeny little pill every day of my life since I was 9 years old.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, since 91, I've had lots of dramatic divine healings. Growing up in a church that didn't believe in it, I didn't either.
Yeah.
And God showed me a thing or two. So, of course, I'd gone to prayer for healing over and over and over of the thyroid gland.
Sure.
Hadn't seen it. Last year, right here, standing right there, Brian and Sue Nutman put on a prophetic training course for the students here, and the last Tuesday of the month, said, okay, have come up and be the prayer minister, and we'll practice praying for healing.
Yeah.
So I didn't go up expecting. I didn't even go up thinking about my thyroid gland. In other words, I didn't do it right.
Mm-hmm.
And I went up to a second-year student, and she said, okay, what do you want healing for? And I had to think. I've had so many healings. I go, oh, yeah, my thyroid gland. I mean, I've had it prayed for so many times, I just felt like a failure. She prayed for it. That was last February 27th. I've got the rest of the bottle of pills. I haven't taken a pill yet. And do I look like I should be called Fatty again?
No. And you look healed.
Yes,
I am. Isn't that awesome? Man, thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Tell everybody your name so they know who you are.
My name is John Colbert. And I went to the gym yesterday and I hurt my knee. And so it was kind of wobbly here today, but one of the ushers laid hands on me and it's gone. It's fixed.
Already.
And I got another testimony. I go out on the highways and byways and preach the gospel.
Good for you, John.
And one day I'm going to preach the gospel on this stage.
Amen. I think you're doing it right now.
I'm going to stand up here and preach to thousands.
Amen. Isn't that awesome? Praise the Lord. I tell you what, you know, in God's kingdom, there is no retire. Amen. There is only refire. Amen. So I tell you what, tell your neighbor this is going to be good for you today. And I am so glad that you're here and we get to have this time together just to get into God's Word. And the Lord laid a message on my heart that I started a few weeks ago, and then Dwayne Sheriff spoke last week. Again, if you missed that, I shared this at the beginning of our live stream today. But if you missed last week, we archive every single Healing School. So go back and listen to what Pastor Dwayne shared, because it was an incredible word about how many times we come under condemnation in some kind of way, and it's usually our own doing. We usually condemn ourselves, just like she shared a little bit ago. She felt like a failure. And when we begin to condemn ourselves and condemn our hearts, we lose confidence before God. And of course, that's what the enemy would just love. So he just spoke in a great word in due season, and it was amazing. So praise God. A couple weeks ago, I started teaching on a merry heart and how a merry heart does good like a medicine. And you know, one of the things that I do at the Healing School is I prepare a lot of teachings, as you can imagine, over the course of the years on healing. And Barry Bennett, who I am on staff with, I greatly admire, and his teaching style is just, to me, impeccable. I mean, he's like a teacher's teacher. And he says to me one day, "How do you do what you do? How do you prepare all these teachings?" I'm like, "Yeah, look who's talking." You know, oh my goodness. And what happens is a lot of times as I begin to prepare a teaching, I'm thinking about, well, maybe, 45 minutes long. And pretty soon I have 14 pages of stuff, coming off my computer that the only way I can give out even a portion of it is to turn it into a series. So I have a couple of things I want to share with you before we get into this today, because I've had it on my heart for a long, long time to write a book on healing. And actually, I have 5 books that I'm in process right now. I've actually got the titles and the, we're doing it. And Dr. Mark Bishop, who was a student here last year, and myself are co-writing a book on healing together. And he's going to be writing it from a medical perspective. I'm going to be writing it from a word perspective. And we're going to be combining the two together, because how many know those two are very much integrated into what God has for us and how it applies to our lives on a daily basis. And so I'm very excited about that. I'm going to do another book called How to Miss God. I told Andrew this when I was hired here full time. In 2011, I said, someday I've missed the Lord so many times, I think I'm going to write a book and call it How to Miss God. And he threw his head back and laughed. It's not often you see Andrew laugh like that, but that got his goat. And how many times have you missed the Lord, in trying to discern? And I'm going to just take those examples of how I miss God and help people to not miss the Lord, but do it in kind of a humorous way. And then I'm going to write a book called A Merry Heart Does Good Like a Medicine. And I'm going to just have the whole book chock full of real stories that have happened to me in ministry. Funny stories. Stories that, look out, chicken soup for the soul. Because you couldn't even make this stuff up. You know what I'm saying? I've been in ministry now for almost 40 years. It's just crazy to think about how long I've been doing ministry. But over the course of this time, there's been a lot of things that, I've learned to laugh about. And when I share them at dinner conversations and this kind of thing, people always tell me, "You really need to write a book someday." So that's going to go into a book. And then I'm writing a book on worship as well, and why worship is so important to talk about from a new covenant perspective. Because how many know so much of the church today is worshiping still from the old covenant? They're trying to always get into the presence of God. They're always trying to call the presence of God down instead of realizing the presence of God came to you. Amen. It already is alive and well on the inside of your spirit man. And so we just need to recognize the fact that we are the place of his habitation and how to cooperate with the Holy Ghost. Because the Lord has incredible things he wants to do in us so that he can do those things through us. So we're very excited about what God is doing. And speaking of excited, I have a brand new announcement. It's so fresh. Say to me, how fresh is it? I can smell bread. I mean, this is fresh bread right out of the oven. You know what I'm saying? No, we are having a Healing Is Here conference again this year. This will be our third time to have this conference. It's coming up on August the 9th, which starts on a Tuesday morning. We're going to allow people, you know, to be in their churches wherever, all over the country, and then fly on Monday or drive, whatever. And then we open up the conference on Tuesday morning, and it's going to happen the 9th through the 12th. Well, we just got confirmation today. I mean, this is fresh off the press that Richard Roberts is going to be one of our evening speakers. Praise the Lord. So Andrew Womack will be speaking, Dwayne Sheriff will be speaking, Richard Roberts will be speaking, I will be speaking, and then we're going to be launching our brand new worship CD on Friday night that you are not going to want to miss. We have a brand new worship CD that's just chock full of everything as it relates to worship and healing, all on one CD that we're in the studio right now recording. And it's going to be, I'm so excited. Oh my goodness. So mark your calendars. That's going to be on August the 9th through the 12th. We're going to be having a panel in the afternoon on Healing School of that week that will consist of Andrew and Pastor Dwayne and Richard Roberts. And then Greg Moore, who wrote a book called Your Healing Door. And if you don't have that yet, we've got it on the back table. You definitely need to get it. And then in the morning sessions, Carly Terradiz and myself are going to be teaching on how to minister to the sick. And Carly has a brand new book out called Miracles Made Easy. It's a great book. And highly recommend it. Again, we have that book on the back table as well. So we just want to get this word out that God wants you well. And in fact, that is the name of our conference. Healing Is Here, with a subtag, God Wants You Well. And that just about says it, doesn't it? Once you really begin to find out that God wants you well, you're like, well, why did it take me so long to find out? As I was preparing for today, I went back to a few weeks ago when I was preparing for that week, and the Lord said, I want you to take a little bit more time today regarding our lead scripture that we're going to get into here in just a minute, and that is that out of the heart flow the issues of life. And the Bible says in Proverbs 4:23, above all, guard your heart. Everybody say, above all. Above all else, guard your heart or keep your heart. The word guard there in the Hebrew is actually the same word for tending a garden. So I like to use that imagery because if I'm going to keep a garden, I'm going to make sure the soil is tilled. I'm going to make sure I've planted the right seed. I'm not going to expect, you know, beans where I planted corn. You know, I'm going to take time to plan out how I want to plant that garden. And that word for guard your heart or keep your heart is the same word that we use for tending a garden or keeping watching over it. Now, why is this so important? Well, it's so important because out of our heart spring the issues of life. 100% of the issues of life. All of your life springs out of your heart. So we're going to take a few minutes to talk about this today. And I do have to tell you that in the second year here in our curriculum, I teach an entire course that's called Heart Matters. And it's over 8 hours of instruction on the heart. And so, we've got maybe 60 minutes today. And I wish we could break it down a little bit further than we're going to be able to today. But I've discovered that a lot of people, like myself, don't even know what the heart is. And so when we begin to talk about the heart, we have many different misunderstandings about what it even is. So to apply these scriptures really don't make a lot of sense because it just becomes some theological something that's kind of out there somewhere, and we can't really apply it. And anything that we teach that we can't apply, we're never going to see the fruit of in our life. I used to think that when I went to a church service, if I didn't understand it, if it was really so spiritual I just couldn't get it, it was really good. I don't know what he said, but it was just amazing. And then I discovered Andrew. It is really hard to misunderstand what Andrew is saying. Have you noticed? I mean, there are people who do, but you know, it is just, you walk away knowing exactly what the Word of God is saying regarding that topic. Well, listen, if you can't get knowledge that can be applied to your life, for that knowledge to be revealed by the Holy Ghost, and then when it's applied, it becomes wisdom. And once you begin to operate in that wisdom, you're going to see the fruit of that in your life. And so when we don't understand these things, we end up just sort of spinning our wheels and using religious language that doesn't really benefit us a whole lot. So I want to talk to you today about the benefits of a merry heart. You ready? All right, Proverbs 4:23, we just saw it up on the screen, but I want to show you in the NIV. It says it this way, and I don't really use the NIV very much. I personally don't really like it that much. I like the King James and the New King James because of some of the ways the NIV has been translated. So my personal opinion is I call it the nearly inspired version. Okay, let it go. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart above all else. And for me, I just put that in caps. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows out of it. Then look at the New King James that we just had up a minute ago. If you would put that back up for us again. In the same verse, Proverbs 4:23 in the New King James, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Listen, after being in the wilderness for 40 days and tempted by the devil three times, Jesus begins his ministry in the power of the Holy Spirit by going from Galilee to Nazareth into a synagogue. In fact, it was the synagogue that he attended as a child. And he now, as a man, stands up to read from the ancient book of Isaiah. And as he begins his ministry, here's how he begins it. I just find this incredible. Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Jesus says, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then, I love this, he closed the book and he handed the book of Isaiah back to the attendant and sat down. And everybody in the synagogue that day had their eyes fixed on them. And he said to them, today, verse 21, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. Listen, if he came to heal the brokenhearted, and it was almost the very first thing he said, at the very beginning of his ministry, you've got to know that your heart matters. Your heart matters. And we often minimize this because we don't really get it. But I believe after today, you're going to have a new value on what God is already valuing on your behalf. 3 John verse 2 says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, even as or just as your soul prospers. 1 John chapter 3, verses 19 through 21. And this we know, that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if your heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. Hebrews 10:35 and 36 says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. What has God promised? Well, one of the things is life more abundant. Amen? We've got a promise from God out of John 10:10. The devil comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. And he wants everybody to know that he's come to give us life and to give it to us more abundantly. So look at this: health, healing, blessing, wellness, wholeness, prosperity, abundance, more than enough, above all that we can ask or think God has promised to us. Can I read that again? What has God promised? What it says that we may receive the promise? Here's what he's promised: health, healing, blessing, wellness, wholeness, prosperity, abundance, more than enough, above all that we can even ask or think. So God is letting us know something here that's really huge, big headline, and that is that there is a direct connection to our heart. From our heart flow the issues of life. And listen, you are the gardener of your ground. You are the gardener of your soil. We're not going to take the time. I really wanted to, but I left it out for today. But Mark chapter 4, if you're taking notes, just write it down. You know the story. It's the parable of the sower and the seed. And we see the different kinds of soil conditions of our hearts. Well, God isn't responsible for the soil condition of your heart. You are. Are you going to allow the cares of life to choke out the word? Or are you going to tend your garden to where you believe the report of the Lord and take that in instead of all that other stuff? See, it's up to us to partner with what God has already done through Christ and made available to us by the Holy Ghost. I was with Andrew for a particular event. We called it the Gospel Truth Rally, and we've kind of done away with those. We now have Gospel Truth Seminars. The difference being that the seminars are 3 days in one location. The rallies were a different location every night for 3 nights back to back. And in 2014, I did 21 cities with him. And so it was a busy year, let alone what I do here. But I can't tell you how many times I would hear when people would come up to have him pray for them or minister healing to them. And he was always so gracious to, you know, meet them where they were. And there would oftentimes be a long, long line that, you know, ended up even after an hour of people trying to, you know, meet him and talk to him and greet him, that they were never able to fully, you know, get everybody through the line to be able to do that. But sometimes people would come and they would have a particular illness that they had been walking with for however many years. And I would hear Andrew say to them, "How did you let yourself get here?" And the first time I heard him say that, I'm like, "Whoa, that's kind of rude. What do you mean, how did I let myself get here? It wasn't my plan." You know? And then after the third or fourth time of hearing it, I started to get it. I started to realize that not every situation this would be true for, but many times we've allowed something in our hearts to take root that have grown up as a root of bitterness and defiled our bodies. Many times something has happened in us. Maybe it's unforgiveness. Maybe it's a trauma. Maybe, you know, there's all kinds of ways that these things can happen where we literally can open up a door to the enemy unknowingly sometimes and think that it's even the will of God, like I did for so many years as a Baptist. I thought, I am so special that God's chosen me to be sick. Wow, what a blessing. And then we say to the world, "You too can serve this same Jesus." And they're looking at us like, are you kidding me? You know, what would we do with an abusive dad like that in our culture today? And yet we're attributing those attributes to the Father God, who is always good? Oh yeah, I don't think so. See? So now, when someone comes with that, I realize that's just a philosophy of man. That's a vain tradition with no power in it. That's just a big fat lie. And I can just reject it like that. I don't have to pray about it. I don't have to think about it. I've marinated in this for so long now that just is like, whoop, reject. But you know, there might be other areas in my life where I might think like, well, you know, let me think about that for a minute. And I might sort of take that in. Well, many times that's how it innocently starts. And we'll start to take something in and we won't really do much with it. And because it's not really a big disease like cancer, you know, it's just really a sinus issue. It's no big deal. I'll get over it, you know. So we tolerate it in our bodies. And we begin to put up with what God's already paid for. And listen, the Lord has come so that we can live life and we can live it abundantly. We are blessed to be able to live in health and wholeness and wellness in every part of our lives. And God wants us to be so blessed that we're too blessed to be stressed. Amen? So why don't you just tell somebody next to you today, just tell them, I'm too blessed to be stressed. Amen. We're just not going to participate. Stress is just completely overrated, I mean, and we're not going to relate to it. Amen? We're just not going to participate. And if we get this far today, which hopefully I will, I'm going to show you what happens when we're under stress versus when we're living our lives under being blessed. Amen. It is amazing how much stress contributes to sickness and illness and disease today. So the philosophy of the world is this. When we're talking about our heart and how we are the gardeners of our ground and how we get to cooperate with the Holy Ghost and how Jesus has already done everything that needs to be done, I'm telling you, if there could be one thing that could separate our teaching of how we teach here from many other people, it would be this, that Jesus does not ever have to come to be your healer. He's already done everything he's ever going to do. It's done. He doesn't have to go back on the cross and die for your cancer. And yet many times we treat it as if, oh God, would you just... And the truth is, he's already done it. So the Holy Spirit, who is very active in our lives on a daily basis, is going to lead us into all truth. He's going to help us. He loves to be our helper. That's his name. You can just say, helper. And the Holy Ghost is like, yes. You say, Jesus. We all recognize that. But we don't really say helper too many times, but that's his name. Helper, I really need your help right now. I like that. Helper, yeah. And the Holy Ghost will help us. But listen, he's not going to help you stay sick. He's not going to help you live in debt. He's going to help you live in wellness. He's going to be leading you into truth, out of that debt, into prosperity. He's going to be leading you into life more abundantly. He's going to show you and tell you and begin to just, you know, all of a sudden you're going to be like, I don't want to live that way anymore. How did I stay there? I want to pick up my mat and follow Jesus. Amen. When Jesus met the man at the pool of Bethesda, he said to him, do you want to be made well? What do you want? We've got to decide, you know what, I'm not living like this anymore. Praise God. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm just not going to live my life stressed anymore. It's just completely overrated. And I'm not willing to live on medication for the rest of my life in order for me to live a blessed life. Amen. I don't want to take a bunch of pills. Just give me the gospel, as Dave Duell used to say years ago. You know, just give me the gospel and that's the pill I'm going to take. Praise the Lord. And he came to give us life and give it to us more abundantly. But listen, everything, 100% of everything flows out of our heart. We've got to guard our heart. Because if we're going to want to live in emotional stability, if we're going to want to live in mental health, if we're going to want to live in physical wellness, we're going to have to realize it's all connected together with our heart. And out of our heart flow the issues of life. So here's our problem. When we talk about the heart, the philosophy of the world is that we follow our heart. You're going to hear this from people even in the church. They mean well, but I'm just telling you, it's a philosophy of man. Don't buy into it. Because here's the problem. Jeremiah 17:9 says, for someone who's not born again, this is not true for a born again person, all right? But for someone who's not born again, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So in the world system, you're going to hear people all the time say, you know what, just follow your heart. You'll know what to do. No, you won't. That's going to be a chapter in my book on how to miss God. If you follow your heart, you'll eventually end up in Disneyland. Your heart's going to take you all kinds of places you didn't know you were going to go. Amen? Your heart will lead you into sexual brokenness, and that sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. It may have pleasure for a season, but the season's going to be really short. And you're going to come out the other side going, why on earth did I ever do that? Because you followed your heart. I followed my heart one time when I was going to go on a diet. It wasn't good. I ate the whole pie. Because my heart said, I want that pie. And I said, who am I to deny my heart? And by the time the night was done, the whole pie was gone. Oh my goodness. So you know what? When we just follow our heart, I have another one for you. How many times have you heard people tell you, just listen to your body. It will tell you what you need. That is backwards compared to what God's telling us from the Word of God. He's saying, listen to the Holy Ghost, and I'll lead you into all truth, and you'll be able to speak to your body and tell it what it needs. See, we are going to live completely backwards to the ways of the kingdom if we don't renew our mind and take time to find out that our heart really does matter. It's got to get involved with this process of health and wholeness and healing. So here's how I say this. God brought us into the promised land, not Disneyland. God has not called us to live in the magic kingdom. He's called us to live in His kingdom. We don't sing "When You Wish Upon a Star," makes no difference who you are. Anything your heart desires will come to you. We don't make the Word of God come true. The Word of God is true, and it is forever true. Listen, there is no expiration date on the Word of God. I was talking to a good friend of mine in Tulsa who used to babysit my kids 30 years ago. His name is Larry Hutton. He has Larry Hutton Ministries. He's traveled all over the world now for 30 years. And he said to me in our phone conversation, in what generation does "by His stripes" no longer apply? At what age does "by His stripes you were healed" no longer work? Why, when we get into our 60s and our 70s, do we expect to begin dying of diseases? You know, the doctor says to you, oh, that's just natural. You know, how old are you? You're 65. Oh, you should be, that's about right. You're losing your hearing. How old are you, 70? Oh, you should be going blind by now. How old are you, 75? Oh, yeah, those hips, they're just going to stop working. No, they're not. I'm telling you what, God, that is not God's plan for us. Listen, when we get old, we can die of old age. Amen. We do not have to die of sickness and disease. Moses was 105 and his eyesight was not abated, nor was his strength. So why are we buying into this that after 40, you're on your way down the hill? I'm telling you what, here's Jan Jensen. Look at her. Jan, stand up and wave to everybody. Here's a picture of health. One of the things I love about Caris Bible College is we have students from 17, 18 years old, all the way up to the 90s. Our oldest student right now is 89 years old. And she usually sits right over here. And you know what? I seriously said, I don't want to call you a liar, ma'am, because you are older than I am. And I respect you. But there's no way you can be 89. She looks like she's about 65 years old. She looks amazing. She acts amazing. She said, I don't feel 89 years old. There she is, right back here. Stand up. Praise the Lord. Look at this lady, 89 years young. I'm like, oh my goodness. She enrolled. She's a first-year student at Caris Bible College in her late 80s. It is never too late. There's no expiration date on the Word of God. God has got good things planned for us. He says, I know the future. I know the plans that I have for you, and they are good, says the Lord. Jeremiah 29:11. We do not have to die of sickness and disease and just break down until we can't even move anymore. That's what the devil would love for us to believe. But listen, we're going to age. It's inevitable that we're going to age. The Bible says that our outward man is perishing or getting older while our inward man is being renewed day by day. Tell your neighbor, there's something about life that's so daily. Amen? Every day from day to day, we're going to show forth the salvation of God. Praise the Lord. Come on, let's give the Lord a praise today and just thank Him. You know, one of the things that many people do when they're believing God for healing is they think it's their responsibility to make the Word of God come true. Yeah. Listen, you don't have to wish upon a star here, okay? Seriously, this is not Disneyland. God has called us into His kingdom, and His Word is alive, and it's powerful. There's no expiration date on the Word of God. And when we believe the Word of God over the report, whatever the report happens to be, if the report that we've been given does not agree with the Word of God, you know what? Let God's Word, that's truth, trump your reality. And watch how the Word of God can bring change to that reality, just like when Jesus spoke to the storm. The disciples were going to the other side. He already told them they were. But when the storm arose, all he had to do was speak his word, and the storm stopped. The word trumps reality. We're not denying reality. We're just saying our belief and our trust is in something higher than what I'm experiencing right now. Yes, I might have a headache. Yes, I might have sinus issues. You know what? But I'm not receiving those. I'm not believing in all that. I'm going to just say no to those symptoms. And I'm saying yes to the promise of God that I can live in health and wholeness and wellness. And pretty soon your body goes, did you hear that? He's serious about this. And it will begin to line up to what you are believing, because all of the issues of life flow through the heart. Amen. So what do you want? The Word contains the power to change. Change our hearts, change our bodies, change our lives, even change our lifestyle. But I just heard the Lord asking us today, what do you want? What do you want? James 4:2 says, you do not have because you do not ask. You know what? Some of you just need to ask God for some big stuff. You know, you've just been, you know, bold enough to ask Him for some little things, but there's been some big things that you've really wanted to ask. Go ahead and ask. You know, trust Him for the big stuff as well as the little stuff. You know, He's capable of doing it all. The lights of heaven are not going to dim when you ask Him for something big. He is big enough. He's greater than whatever it is you can ask or think. Jesus said in John 14, verses 13 and 14, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So we have to take in the Word of God and allow the Spirit of God to help us literally reprogram our hearts. I'm going to share a couple things here in a minute, but let me give you, I have about five different scriptures here that I want to just kind of read in a series, in a succession here, starting with Matthew 15, verses 18 through 20. This is how the Lord gave this to me today. Matthew 15, 18 to 20. Jesus said, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart. The things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart. And they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, etc. And then verse 20 confirms this with the phrase, these are the things which defile a man. Or literally, the word in the Greek here is the word for pollute. Or we could say toxic. These are the things that cause toxicness in our life or pollute our lives. What is it? How we think. What comes out of us is what defiles us, not what goes in. We're so concerned about eating lettuce and birdseed, you know, in order to be healthy. Okay, maybe that's extreme, but you know what I'm saying, right? Don't dare take that piece of bacon because you know it's just going to ruin your health life forever. Man, give me bacon. Amen. All the men said, amen. Come on. Everything's better with bacon. But you know, we're so concerned about what we take into our bodies. And you know what? I don't want to get on a soapbox here, but I guess I'm going to just for a minute. Have you noticed how in today's culture, everyone is gluten intolerant? And we're lactose intolerant? And yet the Lord said he's going to take us into a land of milk and honey. He's the bread of life. And here we are all, you know, intolerant to the bread of life and to the milk and honey. Love you, God, but I can't do that promise, okay? He must not have known that we were going to all just get intolerant. You know what? Let's just be intolerant to intolerance. I'm like, I'm going to eat whatever I want to eat. I'm going to receive it with thanksgiving. And when I do, it's going to be blessed to my body. Amen. Now, I know there's always balance in all things. You know, somebody told me that one day and they said, oh, good. So you mean I can just eat, you know, Twinkies and root beer for the rest of my life? I said, I don't recommend it. But God wants us not to be living with these ridiculous man-made limitations. He wants us to be living life abundantly and in the fullness of what he's come to provide for us. Amen? So again, the things that come out of us are what defile us. But if you're taking notes, just go to Ezekiel 11, verses 19 through 21. Ezekiel 11, 19 through 21. Ezekiel is prophesying here by the Holy Ghost of a coming time. And here's what he says as the prophet Ezekiel. Then I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within them and take the stony heart out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Whew. Romans 10, verses 8 through 10. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith, which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Then look with me at Ephesians 3, verses 14 through 19. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit, look at it, in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, there it is, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. To know experientially the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Ooh, I love that. Acts chapter 15, verses 8 and 9. So God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Ghost, just as he did to us, and made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. So this topic of the heart is central, you can see, to everything in life. 100% of the issues of life flow from the heart. So, what is the heart? Well, I'm glad you asked. I got to tell you a quick story, and I do have to make it quick because, again, I could teach for literally hours and hours on this. But I was a worship leader and associate pastor at Grace Church in Tulsa. After working with Dave Duell in Greeley, Colorado, we moved to Tulsa in 82, and we were there for all of the 80s. And, you know, Bob Yenyon, for those of you who don't know him, is one of our board members. He teaches here regularly, and he's just an amazing teacher. I call him a teacher's teacher, you know? It's like everything you get is just concentrated. And we were talking about, you know, spirit and some of these kind of things, and one day, I kind of just had it, you know? And I'm up in my home office, and I'm gonna find out, bless God, once and for all, where the heart is. Where is the heart? Because, you know, I would hear people say, you've already got it. Other people would say, you got to get it from your head down into your heart. And then I'd read scriptures like, out of your heart proceed evil thoughts. So I thought, well, if the heart is the spirit, then my spirit must be contaminated because I'm thinking evil thoughts out of my heart. So I was trained that my heart and my spirit were the same thing. And so I was determined that I was going to find out where the heart was. So anyway, long story short, Tracy was, my wife, was making dinner that night, and I came downstairs, and in a passion, I said to her, I've just got to know where the heart is. Where is the heart? What do you think? She goes, Danny, I don't really care. Isn't it amazing how fixated we get on some of these things, you know? She said, I know you have one, just use it. I'm like, well, you go, girl, you know. So we had a good laugh over it, and I went back to my research on where the heart was. But you know what? When I heard Andrew teach, one of the very first times I ever heard him teach, he was the very first person besides Bob Yenyon that I had ever heard say that the soul and the spirit together make up the heart. And when he said that, I literally just came unglued. I mean, it was my happy dance, you know? I mean, I was so thrilled over the fact that the soul and the spirit make up the heart. Finally, things were starting to connect and starting to make sense. Well, there's so much in this that I wish we had time to unpack. But let me just say this, that we've got to know that our spirit man is absolutely complete. When we receive Jesus Christ, we become a brand new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that old things have passed away, and yet you know that your thought life did not pass away. You know that your emotions did not pass away. You've still got stuff you've got to deal with in your soul, even though your spirit man has been made brand new. So when it says all things have been made new, yes, that is true about your spirit. But you know what? You're more than just a spirit. You are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. So this whole inner man that we're talking about here, the Bible uses the words interchangeably sometimes, and it is a bit confusing, honestly. When you go look at the Hebrew, you look at the Greek, and you study this whole thing out, but I'm telling you what, this revelation that Andrew has brought to the body of Christ and others of spirit, soul, and body is one of the biggest revelations and how that applies to every area of our lives that I've ever experienced. It absolutely brought transformation to me. And everything I do and teach now comes through that understanding of spirit, soul, and body. But we've got to understand that our soul is a work in progress. Amen. Somebody said, yeah, you got that right. What's in our soul? We know for sure from studying the Word of God, our will. What else? Our mind. What else? Our emotions. Yeah. I like to say it this way, our motivations, our imagination. You know, we've got attitudes we've got to deal with. You know, it's not a spirit thing, it's a soul thing. But spirit and soul work together. And spirit and soul form the heart. And when we begin to understand that we've got this dynamo on the inside of us of the life of Christ and the Holy Ghost, because Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, but His life in us is in us by the Holy Spirit. And I got really good news for you today, okay? I got a lot of good news for you. But I got good news for you, and here it is. The Holy Ghost has never had a sick day in His life. The Holy Ghost has never had a depressed day in His life. You know, we have all kinds of medications that we could be on today, including Prozac, to, you know, even out our emotional life to where we can really just, you know, live life in, you know, calmness and not be all stressed out. Can you imagine giving Prozac to the Holy Ghost? Holy Ghost, you need a little Prozac today? Down the hatch. See, Holy Ghost has never been depressed a day in His life. He's never been sick. You've never had a lack of joy in your life. Let there be joy. Let there be strength. Let there be power. We've got all of it in our spirit man. But why aren't we seeing it in our lives? Because we don't know how to cooperate with it. All of the issues flow through our heart. And when we get involved in this ministry and you come here as a student or you spend time listening to Andrew's teachings, all of a sudden this stuff starts to connect, doesn't it? And you begin to realize, man, you know what? I don't have to live by my emotions. Praise God. I don't have to live by my thought life that dominated me in a wrong way years and years ago and still have it be how I'm going to live for the next 25 years. No! I can live with a renewed mind. I can live in the destiny and the divine purpose that God has for me. Why? Because I'm better than everybody else? No. Because the Holy Ghost is better than anyone else. How many know we got a better covenant with better promises? Hallelujah. Now, here's what's interesting. The heart is the whole person, okay? It's our spirit and our soul, or what we would describe as our inner man. And the heart contains the unconscious, the subconscious, and the conscious thoughts, as well as images and the beliefs that we have taken in as our own, whether they are scriptural or not. The heart contains our feelings and still how they influence how we feel about something. And our memories, which influence how we live, and even our physical health. Wow. Huge, huge, huge. Matthew 12, 34 and 35 says, out of the abundance of the heart, what? The mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. So notice that the heart needs healing. That's why Jesus said this first when he began his ministry in Luke 4:18. The heart needs healing, and then it needs to be kept or guarded, and that happens through transformation. Spirit and truth always bring transformation. You know it well, but let's look at it again. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and don't be conformed to this world, but what? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you can prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Hallelujah. I love that. Listen, God wants you to be inspired. God wants you to be, you know, encouraged. But God's design and goal for you always is to be transformed. When we come together for worship, we shouldn't just put our expectation in being inspired. Worship should always be inspiring. But listen, if that's all it is, go to a symphony concert. Don't call it worship, because worship should always be transformational. When we get into the presence of God, spirit and truth will always bring us into transformation. So when I start to apply God's word to my heart in the area of healing, I begin to experience transformation, not only in my heart, but out of my heart and in my body. Wow. I was talking to Dr. Mark Bishop about this and also Dr. Steve Locken and other friends of mine. It seems to be lately that I'm collecting friends that are doctors. But I love having these conversations because I was saying to one of the doctors one day, so let me, I don't know the medical language here, but let me just throw this out here. So if I'm understanding this correctly, the Word of God can bring transformation to our hearts, and literally our hearts become like valve levers that allow the life of God to go into our bodies, and we can actually change how we think and how we feel and how we process, which changes the DNA of our bodies. And the doctor said that is absolutely correct. Medically speaking, that is correct. And I went, wow. How does somebody have cancer and then not have cancer? How does somebody have diabetes and then not have diabetes? How does somebody have a growth so big that it's protruding 10 inches from their chest as a tumor that's cancerous, and all of a sudden, by standing on the Word of God, that thing falls off? So the Word of God is not like a book in a library. This thing is alive and it's powerful, and we don't have to try to make it come true. Amen. It is true. We just have to believe it and receive it and watch God bring the transformation in us and through us to His glory. Woo! Hallelujah! Amen. Now, when we talk about this keeping of our heart, the Lord led me to this scripture, which I want to share with you today out of 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, because I think this is so awesome. When you think about the responsibility of keeping your heart, it is your responsibility to tend your heart, to guard your heart, but we're partnering together with God. And here's what 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5 says, that we are kept by the power of God. We are kept. How are we going to keep our heart? By the power of God. Where's the power of God? In the gospel. Where's the power of God? In the gospel. Romans 1:6 says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and then for the Greek. Listen, God is so for us, who can be against us? Certainly not sickness and disease. Now, here's why this becomes so important. If you haven't already, you know, come into a place where you're agreeing with me on the value and the identity and the importance of this whole thing, listen to this. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all diligence again, for out of it spring the issues of life. Proverbs 14:30 says, a sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones. Proverbs 15:13 says, a merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. You ever been around somebody who's brokenhearted? Listen, it's not any harder for Jesus to heal that than it is a headache. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because I came to heal the brokenhearted. And you know what? We have lots of people in our culture today that don't know what to do with where they are. They've taken in images and beliefs about how they've lived their lives that they are still battling with and still dealing with. They go to bed at night and they're having dreams of something that happened to them 30 years ago, and they're trying to renew their minds and don't know how to get over it. I tell you, God has come to give us life and give it to us more abundantly. We do not have to identify with those things when we begin to identify with the promise instead of the problem. But it's a process. Amen. And we have to understand how it works together with the will of God and our inner man. Proverbs 15:13 again says, a merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of heart, the spirit is broken. Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bone. Now, I could take probably an hour just to talk about that scripture, but let me just say a couple things real quickly about this. A merry heart means a cheerful heart. We don't have to try to get a merry heart. We've already been given one in God. The Lord has made us glad. In the Holy Ghost is the glad. Does that make sense? In the Holy Ghost is the merry. Okay? In the Holy Ghost is the joy. So I don't have to try to do all kinds of gymnastics in order to get a merry heart. You already have a merry heart. We just have to access it and cooperate with it and let it fill us up to overflowing instead of all those images and those thoughts of where we've been. We begin to identify with God's word, and God brings the transformation and then takes us from where we've been into where he has for us to go. And you know what? It's good. It's not sickness. It's not brokenness. It's good. It's health. It's blessing. It's wellness. Praise the Lord for that. So here's the deal. We will identify with whatever is bigger in our hearts. We will identify with whatever is bigger in our hearts. My heart really goes out to people who've been traumatized, whether it's been a girl who's been raped or a guy who's been dealing with post-traumatic stress syndrome or whatever it is. You know, my heart goes out to these people because they don't want to be where they are, but they're still dealing with some of this residue that's on the inside of them and oftentimes don't ever think that they can get over it. When they go for medical help, what's the medical profession going to do? Give them a pill. Give them some kind of medication. Well, here's where we have a little bit of an issue, because look at this. We think a merry heart does good like what? Like medicine. So in our modern culture today, we relate this to the pharmaceutical industry. We relate this to, you know, drugs, okay? A merry heart does good like what? Is that really scriptural? So what we find here is a very interesting word, because the word in the Hebrew is actually the word, a joyful countenance is good for healing. When you break it down and look at the original language, a joyful countenance is good for healing. Why? Because once you begin to get this message of the spirit and soul working together, once the two join together, guess what? It's two against one. Body's going to start responding. You wake up in the morning and your body's telling you what it's going to do. You're like, oh no, body, you're not telling me. I'm telling you. Here's what the Word of God says. We're going to have a blessed day today. And sore throat, you're under my feet in the name of Jesus. I am not going to be submitting to that pain. I'm not submitting to that, you know. And you just begin to declare what God declares because you believe it in your heart. You've rewritten the tablet of your heart to where those beliefs now are greater in you. You're identifying with the one who is greater than he who is in the world. And all of a sudden, you begin to feel differently. Why? Because your body's going to respond to what's going on the inside of your heart. I've shared this many times already in the healing school, but I just love it so much. Dave Dwell years ago said, it's like you get up in the body, or you get up in the morning and your body's telling you what to do. He said, you just tell your body what to do and just tell it, we're going to be healthy. And your body goes, did you hear that? Pass it on. The Word of God's alive. It's powerful. See, we're like, oh yeah, I know. No, you probably don't. Unless you're doing weird things like speaking to things. Unless you're doing weird things like speaking to your body. You know, somebody said to me one time in a Healing Is Here conference, you mean you actually want me to talk to my foot? And I said, yep, right now, start speaking to it. And pretty soon it was like, oh, whoa, my foot feels so different. Well, yeah, you told it what to do. It's amazing how out of the abundance of our hearts, our mouths can speak. And we can speak words of life and words of healing. But my heart goes out to these people who've been dealing with some of these traumatic kind of situations and don't know how to get healed. don't know how to find the freedom that God has come to set us free with. Amen? So we must learn to identify with the truth instead of our reality. As we learn to magnify the promises of God instead of the problems of men, the word will change our hearts. Hallelujah. Unbelief is really just exalting something besides Jesus. That's just my simple definition of what unbelief is. It's really just exalting something besides Jesus, whatever it is. You know, somebody said something, you know, you read something, you heard something on television. Whatever it is that we're exalting that's higher or bigger than Jesus, we need to tear that thing down and begin to believe the promise of God. Whatever I identify with will produce an image, and we will become conformed to that image over time. So if I see myself crippled, if I see myself broken down, if I see myself not being able to speak, if I see myself not being able to sing, I'm just this, you know, pathetic singer. Oh, God, I don't even know why they have me up here. Guess what? I'll begin to identify with that brokenness and that image of patheticness, and I'll start to take it on. It's the most amazing thing. If I begin to identify with the fact that I should be sick a few times a year, then I'm going to begin to take that on because that's where my expectation is. See? So this all works together, but you say, but Daniel, I've got something going on in my body right now that I have no idea how it came. I didn't expect it. I didn't believe for it. It just happened. Well, you know what? Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble, but be of good cheer. Yeah. Amen. There's going to be stuff that happens. Bad things happen to good people sometimes. But listen, don't stop by what you don't know. Go with what you do know. And what you do know is the Word of God. And the Word of God says, by His stripes you were healed. Praise God. And if we were healed, then we can receive that healing in our lives and we can begin to rejoice and count it all joy. Bible says, be of good cheer. All right, praise God. I'm going to do that. I'm going to just go ahead and be of good cheer. Amen. You said to do it. I'm going to do it. All right, here we go. 1, 2, 3. It's just that simple. Amen. Now, I told you we could go into a whole lot of other things here, but let me just end with this today. A merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. So how do I develop a merry heart? There's lots of ways that we can learn how to cause this idea to get bigger in our hearts. But one of the things I want to share with you today is a merry heart does good like a medicine. A merry heart does good like a healing, okay? The word medicine is the word for healing in the Hebrew. Medicine to the American culture today really would be you going to the pharmacy and getting a prescription. Now, here's what's interesting. I don't want to make a mountain out of a molehill here, but I just think this is really fascinating. The word pharmakia in the Greek, where we get the word pharmacy from, is the word for witchcraft and sorcery in the Bible. Now, how many of you know that there is a big, big industry that's out there right now that deals with this area? And for many believers, we think that to have a normal life, we've got to be on prescription, and prescription is how we're going to manage our illness and our sickness. Now, if that's where you are, you know what? There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. You just need to know that that's where you are, but that's not where you have to stay. God's got something better for you, and when you begin to accept that and begin to realize that there's a bigger image on the inside that you need to develop and give place to, then pretty soon those prescription drugs are going to literally not have to be taken. I never ever teach that you stop taking prescription drugs to prove you're healed. That is pure stupidity, and you'll probably end up dead. As Andrew says, thank God for doctors, because if it weren't for doctors, there'd be a lot of dead Christians. It's true, isn't it? There's no shame in going to a doctor. Amen. But I want to tell you something. We've got to understand what God's word says, that a merry heart does good like a healing. And God wants us to live in this place of abundant life and wellness and joy and peace. It doesn't mean that everything's just going to go our way and that we're going to end up in Disneyland. Listen, we are in a kingdom. We are in a warfare, not warring against God. But how many know that the devil hates you? He hates this message. He does not want this ministry to succeed. But greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And you know what? God says, if I'm for you, who's going to be against you? Amen. We've got a medication that is called the Word of God that will literally have the power to change the DNA in our body. The Word of God can cause someone who's crippled to no longer be crippled. Someone who's missing a limb, someone who's lame or halt, to be restored and made whole. The Word of God is capable of doing whatever we're believing him to do. And what have we settled for? Managing our sickness and disease. Yeah. Jesus did not come and pay the price he paid for you to manage your sickness. He said, I came to carry it away. By my stripes, you were healed. Isaiah 53, look at the whole chapter there. He says, I carried away your sickness, your pain, your sorrow, your disease. I carried it away. Where? On the cross, he paid the price for you that you could never pay. I don't want to make the pharmaceutical industry any richer than they already are. Amen? Let's put this money into the kingdom of God instead of all the money into drugs and prescriptions. Amen? What if we didn't have to spend, you know, one of my relatives, I love her to pieces, but she's spending $4,000 a month on one medication. Listen, what if we could put that money into the kingdom of God? What would we see getting this message out that God wants you well? There are so many benefits of living with a merry heart. When you begin to understand that God's will is for us to really walk in health and wholeness, I'm telling you, you can begin to change the very DNA of your body. We release endorphins through worship, through prayer. When we pray in tongues, it's now being medically, after all these years, I think it's hilarious. You know, but it's cool too. But it's now being medically proven how we restore ourselves and we build up ourselves upon our most holy faith by praying in other tongues. They've got people hooked up to all these probes and medical devices, and they're like, wow, the Bible is actually true. Well, see, we believe that by faith before they ever proved it medically. Amen. But isn't it great when medical science can come alongside and say yes to what we've already believed? So listen, we've just got to decide. We're going to believe the report of the Lord. Amen? We're going to believe God's word, and we are going to see the body of Christ turn from these sourpuss people and these, you know, people that are so mad and angry at everybody into a body of Christ that's going to be filled with the love of God. And how many know faith works by love? And in the love of God is the joy of the Lord, the fruit of the Spirit, and that joy is our strength. I got to tell you, I love to laugh. What a surprise, right? For those of you who know me and been around me, I love to laugh. And you know what? I have literally laughed myself into healing. You ever been in one of those Holy Ghost services when, you know, it's like not just laughter because you went, ha, 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 you know, but... It's like Holy Ghost laughter. I'm telling you, it is just amazing how refreshing that is. And what if we in the body of Christ could even learn that in adversity, we could count it all joy, even when it's not? See, we could walk in this place of health and wholeness and just refuse to be overcome by the stress of the world system. Well, to do that, we're going to have to be intentional, and we're going to have to on purpose say, I'm rejecting all that stuff, and I'm going to go with the Word of God. Even though my relatives think I'm crazy, even though my relatives think I've slipped over into denial somewhere. Don't wake me up, as Andrew says, because it's working for me. Amen? We've got to decide what it is that we believe. And when we do, we begin to live with the benefits of a merry heart. Would you stand with me today? And let's just lift our hands. Thank you for being such a great audience today and such a great family to just spend some time here pouring into God's word, finding out what God says. But let's just take a minute and lift our hands up to the Lord. Can we do that? And just say thank you. The Bible says when we lift our hands, we bless the Lord and all that is within us, Lord. We say like David said, bless the Lord, O my soul. O my soul and all that is within me. Bless the Lord. Father, we thank you today for the power of your presence. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus, for the power of your presence. Thank you, Lord, that you are mighty, that you are greater in us than he that's in the world. You are the mighty one on the inside of us, Lord. You are the great physician. You are the healer who's living in this house. And Lord God, we bless you and thank you that you've done everything that needs to be done for us to be able to live in health and wholeness and wellness. Father, we just decide today, we like the old song says, I've decided to follow Jesus. Well, Lord, we decide today that we're not going to live in less than your best. You paid an incredible price, Lord, for us to be able to have this life and have this life that's more abundant life. This Zoe life of God, the life that has this kind of peace in it, peace that passes our understanding. Even when we can't understand it, God, your peace is greater. A life that has a joy that is so contagious that it can be our strength, not only in us, but through us to others. Lord, thank you that this life in us can literally change from sickness and disease to health and wholeness and wellness. While I've been teaching today, some of you have been receiving your healing, even just sitting under the word. And we shouldn't be surprised by it, but as I'm just, standing here with my eyes closed, I just hear the Lord saying that as you teach and elevate the word, I'm going to confirm the word with signs and wonders. Hallelujah. And Father, we just thank you that not only here in this auditorium, in this beautiful setting of Woodland, Colorado, but on the internet and all over the world, your word, Lord, has no expiration date. Your word, Lord God, has no distance and lack of power as it's being sent out. You sent your word and healed them of all their sickness and disease. And Lord, you are doing that even today as we celebrate and we declare the goodness of the Lord in this place. Lord, we thank you for it. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Prayer ministers, if you would, let's give the Lord a big hand today and just thank him. Prayer ministers, if you would come and be ready just to minister to whoever is ready to receive. I tell you what, I love these guys. They are so amazing. They're so faithful. Our healing school happens really just almost year round. And it's a delight for us to be able to bring this to you. But it takes a lot of people to make it happen. And I'm so grateful that as the director of the Healing School, we have these teams of people that are so excited and passionate about praying for people to receive their wholeness and their health and their wellness. So I was watching TV one time, and it was this silly show that you've all seen called The Price is Right. And years ago, Bob Barker used to say, "Come on down, the price is right." And the Lord said, "That's exactly right, and I paid it. I paid it, so come on down and receive your healing." So I'm going to say today, the price is right. Come on down and receive your healing today. If you're ready, come on. Our prayer ministers are waiting for you. Come on down and receive that healing, that restoration, that wholeness. We've got a lady who's been believing God for health and wholeness in her body. She said, "If I can just get here, today's my day. I know that I'm going to have that healing." And I said, "You know what? You are absolutely right. Today is your day. Why live with this another day when God's already paid the price?" Amen. He's looking for those who will believe and will receive the good report of the Lord. And we say, "Yes, Lord, here we are. We are the ones who are going to receive the report of the Lord." We're not in a hurry. We're going to be here as long as we need to be here. We just want to minister to you and release the life of Christ that's in us into you, because he is the one who is the healer. So, Lord, we just thank you and give you praise for that in Jesus' name. We bless you, Lord God. Nothing is too hard for you. Nothing's too difficult for you. Those of you joining us on the internet, if you're at a Charis Bible College, we have prayer ministers right there for you. You've probably already discovered that. But if you are at a Charis location, there are prayer ministers right there who are waiting to and willing to minister life to you. So don't go home the same way that you came. Man, you get what you're believing God for, because it's already yours. The work's already been done. And if you're not at a Charis location, I'm telling you, you can believe God right where you are, as we have seen verified many, many times, how God has met you and always will meet you right where you are. Miracles and healings and health, wholeness, wellness, it's all in the will of God. So reach out and take it right now. Receive it, because today is your day. The Bible says he sent his word and healed them of all their sickness and disease. It is God's will that you prosper and be in health. So, Father, I just come into agreement right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you that hearts are being healed, broken hearts are being restored, bodies are being restored and healed. And I declare health and wellness over every person on the internet right now who does not have someone to agree with them or pray with them. And even those of you who do, I release that powerful word of God that is alive in Jesus' name. And I say, be made whole now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. I just really sense the power of God going into a lady's home right now who's been dealing with arthritis in your fingers, in your hands. Your fingers have been just gnarled up. And I'm just seeing the power of God going right into your hands right now and straightening those hands up and making them be normal again in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Someone's got a blood clot in your left leg. The power of God's going into your left leg right now in Jesus' name and healing that clot and restoring what the devil intended to be for your harm. And God is turning it around and is going to bring good out of it. He's going to bring a testimony out of it for the glory of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yes, there's someone with a heart valve that is not closing all the way, and it's caused the heartbeat to be all off and irregular. And God is restoring that heart right now, physically, not just spiritually, but physically right now in the name of Jesus. I declare health and wholeness over that heart in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Father, we just thank you that no name is higher than the name of Jesus, that there's no sickness or disease that's greater than who you are. Lord, we glorify and bless you and give you praise. In Jesus' name, praise the Lord. Lord, 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 Lord.